It's 2011. 2011. I remember when I was a kid, I've told you a story before probably. I remember sitting out there, just one of those things that's in your mind, playing Pioneer League baseball, sitting around with my friends, and we were like, wonder if we would live to see the year 2000. Because, you know, we'll be real old then. We'll be like 50 years old. You know, I don't know if we'll live that long, but will we see the year 2000? And here it is, 2011. Incredible. This time of the year, I don't know why, my mind always comes back, and so I'm going to share this with you, and just a little bit of thoughts about that. We may get over to Romans today, we may not, and if you all want to say anything when I'm done, you can too. I just think about God's faithfulness, what he does, and you don't have to, but if you're inclined. I always think about the old Jacob, you know. That passage always comes back to my mind when I think about this time of year and what the Lord's done and what he does. And, you know, old Jacob the deceiver. Old Jacob, you know, and his mom conspiring against his brother to do what God said he was going to do. But, you know, we're going to help God out a little bit. And I guess that's the way we always are. Gets himself in a terrible mess. Has to flee for his life, leave his home and his family and his land. In spite of that all, you know, the Lord blesses him. The Lord said he was going to. The Lord's always faithful to his word. Blesses him. Gives him family, and fortune, mercies, knowledge. Then tells him, come on back home. And, you know, even at that time, you know, he's not totally necessarily up with that, because he thinks, I don't know, I come back on home, and Esau's still not happy with me, and I don't know what's going to happen. But in spite of himself, you know, he does what God tells him to. And at night before he's getting ready to pass back over into his home, you know, and he's sitting there contemplating these things, and praying to God. And this passage over in Genesis 32 always speaks to me, so I'll share it to you because it's been on my mind the last several days. Genesis 32 and verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and unto thy kindred, and I will dwell with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shewed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so Jacob's, you know, reflecting on these things. He doesn't know what he's going to be entering into, coming back into the land, coming into a new year, if you will. These sort of things that we, as people, deal with. And he reflects on God's faithfulness to the generations as, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. You know, God was faithful through all these generations, through all these promises. And when God tells him, return to the land, he says, you know, you said you were going to deal well with me. But Jacob's still got all these doubts and turmoil going on into his head. And Esau's going to, you know, whack my head off, kill everybody. And, you know, he's still worried about all that. And I guess we can't fault Jacob too much, because we probably all are in the same boat lots of times. And as we look about us and what goes on in the world today, and, you know, Esau is up there in Washington. Well, I know that would be an insult to Esau. But anyway, you know, those sort of things we think about. And he thinks about what God has done in his own life in the past. He said, I'm not worthy of all the mercies and of all the truth that you've showed you. All the mercies God's poured about it, down upon us, you know. Brother Singh was, as he was praying, said, you know, we deserve hell. And look what we got. And look what we're going to have. I mean, that's God's mercy. That's God's grace. All of the mercy. And of all of the truth. And the more the Lord teaches me, the more I realize I haven't arrived. There's a lot, you know, I don't understand a lot. I don't comprehend. But the Lord's been pleased to teach us some things and show us some things. You know, like this lady had contacted me, and I don't know. Maybe she's not here. She's probably going to church someplace. but not probably not someplace she hears the doctrines of grace. And the Lord taught her those things. She said she's believed doctrines of grace since 1992. You know, the Lord taught her those things. The Lord teaches us these things. Not because we're so wise, not because we're so wonderful, not because we... No, the Lord teaches us these things. And of the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. I just think that the things the Lord's been pleased to show us and to teach us. And again, you got to be careful we don't become arrogant with those things. You know, we're better than everybody. We're smarter than everybody, you know. We look down our nose. That's where we were last week, for crying out loud. You know? It ought to not bring arrogance. It ought to bring humility, you know, and understanding as we try to deal with folks. And at the same time, you know, to proclaim God's truth, if he might be pleased to show these things unto others and teach these things unto others. But that's his business. I'm not worthy of the mercies. I'm not worthy of the truth that you showed, he says, unto thy servant. And he thinks back again, you know, he says, I passed over the Jordan here with a staff. I passed over the Jordan with a stick in my hand, running for my life. That's all I had. And now here I am with two bands. You know, family and the provisions. I think the Lord pours out upon us. You know, I think again of family. I'm going to be adding a seventh grandchild. And the Lord just poured the two bands. And the Lord gives us these things out of his mercy, out of his grace, out of his love. And again, sometimes I almost feel like, you know, God's spoiled child. I think, man, I don't deserve all this stuff. Everybody else seems to have rougher times than I do about things. I had a brother tell me that one time too, and he thought my life was rougher than his. But I looked at his life, thought his life was rougher than mine. You know, the Lord gives us those graces, I guess, to endure, and to not only endure, I guess, to prevail and to thrive. You know, in our own circumstance, that we look at somebody else's and we say, wow, I wouldn't want to be there. Hey. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan. I just had a stick in my hand. I was running for my life, and now look at all I've got here. Look at all the Lord's given us. And what do you think as a church? You look around, and most folks wouldn't think this as much, but the Lord's given us a lot. You know, we've been greatly blessed. And then, as he looks towards the future, as he looks towards tomorrow, as he looks towards facing Esau, and we're going to have those confrontations, he says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And again, we can look at those that would do us evil, and may well do us evil. Those that would seek to harm us and ours and that which we believe and hold dear. But we can trust God. And I don't understand. I don't know what's coming next year. I could give you my little guesses. Well, it's beyond, it's more than a guess. I'm not an intelligent person. I'm not a genius. But it doesn't have to be a guess. Listen, the dollar is going to go to nothing. It's just going to continue. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet. I got two eyes the Lord gave me. And we can look at those things and we can fear. And fear for ourselves, fear for our families, fear for our country. But still in the context to realize God's in charge. God's in control. He said, Thou saidest, I will surely do thee good. And as we've been studying Romans, you know, as Paul reminds, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, it may not seem that way in every circumstance. it may not be enjoyable at all times. But we know all things are working together for good because he's sovereign and because he loves us. I've often said that's really all we need to know. Only two things we need to know in the whole. God is absolutely sovereign and God loves us. I mean, what else do you need to know? What else do you need to know? And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good. Now, Esau was afraid. Jacob was afraid Esau was going to come in and kill everybody. But God had already told Jacob, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the sea. So how could that happen? No, it wasn't going to happen. God was going to be faithful to his word. Maybe even from Esau's perspective at the time, it didn't seem possible that it was going to happen. But it was going to, because God said it would. Thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And so, I don't know, I always, drawn back to this verse this time of the year, I've used it at one time, I guess. I probably got a whole sermon on it somewhere. I almost preached a whole sermon on it today, but by accident. But this verse, I've just always drawn back to it, as I think is Jacob's going to cross the Jordan, go back down to the new things, and the new things the Lord calls us to every year. And the confidence that we can have going into it, really. And I say that dear lady wrote me about how she was really, she said, I'm very discouraged. And I understand her perspective, you know. And Brother Hal, halfway jokingly, talks about how he leaves here every Sunday, you know, after he reads the paper. And we talk about what's going on. And, you know, that's true. Because the old man's still there. Paul talked about that in Romans 2. You know, we talked about the struggles with the old man and the new man. The old man ain't going away. Not until the Lord comes back, you know. But he ought to wax weaker. You know, the new man ought to wax stronger. But that struggle goes on. But God is faithful. We can trust him. You know, that's the bottom line. So, from the human perspective, I looked at the prospects of 2011, and I say, things aren't looking too good. Things aren't looking too good, you know. The empire, but I guess maybe that's a good thing that the empire's going to fall, probably soon. But I look at the empire, you know, and the openly homosexuality, the open sodomy they're now promoting in the ranks. And you know, listen, there is still a God, and he is still on the throne. And he's not sleeping. And he knows what's going on. And, you know, the vice president may say that gay marriage is inevitable. I might have different ideas about that. In fact, it's impossible. How can it be inevitable? It's impossible. We can call it who we want to. We can be like, you know, Winston Smith and peace is war and love is hate and truth and lies and so forth. But it doesn't make it so. Well, I'm kind of rambling now. But I just wanted to share those thoughts with you because they were on my mind today. And I'm thankful for all of God's mercies. As an individual, as a husband, as a dad, as a granddad, as a pastor, I'm just thankful for all of God's mercies and for those truths he's been pleased to teach us. And I just pray we might be that people that, you know, that he can entrust with more of those kind of truths. And we'll be the people that seek to live those things. Well, those were my rambling thoughts. I don't know if anybody has anything that they, a testimony or just a word of whatever. If Lord lays something on your heart this morning, if you'd like to say as we enter into a new year together as the Lord's church and as individuals, you're welcome to say something if you'd like to. If anybody wants.
Well, say a little something. Always take an opportunity to run my mouth. As Brother Pruffle was saying this morning, that he didn't know how the situation with his daughter was going to turn out. And he just knew, was so happy that she called him and spoke with him. And I was thinking about times in my own life when I've tried to solve a particular problem or something wrong with a friendship or something like that. And I just wouldn't see any way about doing that. And then things happen and things work out. And of course we know where that comes from. That's not because of anything we did or because we solved the problem, but because God intervened and got it done. And that's something that we can think about as the year starts. If we look at the way the world is, and it's kind of scary and depressing, but we also know that, as Brother Greg said, that God's on the throne. He's still sovereign. He's going to find a way to take care of his people. But that doesn't mean that no harm will come to us, but at the same time, nothing's going to take us away from God. And as you said this morning, he's sovereign, he loves us, and we don't need to worry a great deal about that. It's hard not to worry because we are still human. We're not perfect. But God's going to get it done. I mean, you think about just everything that in Jesus' own life. If you know, you don't see how in the world somebody could be born in Bethlehem and become known as the Savior of his people. You'd think that he would have had Jesus born in a major city or something like that, but he was still able to just do impossible small things like that and to raise Jesus up. So we don't always understand how God's going to do what he does, but he gets his will done. He's going to be able to work that will.
Amen.
Well, I'll just piggyback on what Brother Hal said. You know, we don't know how he's going to get it done, but he gets this done. But what just amazes me sometimes is why. You know, because it's like, I'm just so unworthy of these things. And it's like, why are you blessing me with these things when I don't even deserve it? And it's just amazing to me how good God is when sometimes we're so bad and we're, you know, we just say, wow. You know, isn't God great? And I just want to add that.
It's like Jacob said, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies. Right. I'm not worthy of the least of them. And he didn't give us the least. He gave us the best. Well, if anybody else would like to have a word, you can, but you're not, it's not necessary. It's the Lord leads.
Thank you, brother. And, you know, we tend to mark things in days and weeks and months and years, and certainly the current calendar means nothing to God, but it does play into our mindset. We it tends to make us introspective, and I think that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
And looking back last year, I just look at my many backslidings and failures and sin. I don't believe in resolutions per se, because I believe the Bible says with a letter and VA and nay with our Lord. But I just pray that 2011 is marked by just a greater faithfulness to me. Not just on my heart, but on our church's heart. That I love you more and be better designed to serve him. Just be more faithful. I think about all the lost family members I have. And it's how easy it is just to be so cold toward them. I just pray the Lord would keep my heart tender toward the lost. And that I just live a faithful life before them.
Amen. There, but for the grace of God, go we. Again, it's that we're no better than anybody else. But the Lord loved us for some reason. I'm not worthy of all the mercies and truth you showed your servant. Anybody else have anything before we? Let's take our hymnals and we'll turn to page number 372. Thanks to God. Number 372. We'll stand as we sing this closing hymn together.
Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayer that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort and despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for home. That sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope and the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity.
Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee that Thou art the faithful God that You are, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, as Your servant Jacob said, for the mercies, for the truth, the Lord, realizing we weren't worthy of the least of it. Father, we thank Thee for He who is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Of Lord, for Your love that spanned an eternity. Lord, that You loved us when we weren't lovable, even as we can see in Your servant Jacob as well. And Father, we pray that we might face the new year in confidence as we rest in Thee, as we know of Your truth, as we know of Your love, as we know of Your promises. And Lord, in the light of those things, as Brother Dale mentioned, we might be faithful. Father, I thank Thee for these, my brothers and sisters. Lord, for the fellowship of the saints. Lord, for the encouragement we draw one from another. Pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters far flung around the globe, some that we know of, some that we don't. Let's pray, Lord, that You keep Your people faithful. Again, Lord, we pray Your hand upon those that need healing. Pray, Lord, that You strengthen and steel us all for what lies ahead. Father, we thank Thee that You're who You are. And that we can rest in that. And we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.